Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. We have a new website, macroaggressions.io. You can go there and check out everything related to the show. Big thanks to the folks over at Chemical Free Body. It's a new year. Everyone wants to get healthy. It's one of their New Year's resolutions. Well, you don't need to wait till the new year to do this. This should be a 365-day-a-year process. And if you're interested in getting yourself some really great supplements that actually work, go to chemicalfreebody.com, read up about it, see what you think. The Green 85 juice has been part of my mix in the morning for almost 4 years now. I love it. And there's also a detox bundle. You could incorporate that. It's just a couple capsules in the morning, very easy, 5 minutes, you're in and out. Go to chemicalfreebody.com, take a look around. If you find something you like, the discount code on your way out is macro. And also, thank you to the folks at Legal Shield. They've been doing this for half a century in the United States and Canada. They'll get you access to a high-powered attorney in your area for a very reasonable price. $1 a day, $30 a month will get you in the door. Average attorney that they work with have 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get somebody fresh out of law school. You'll have somebody that can help you with your, if you have documents that you need to get done, your last will and testament, do you have that? Your medical directive, your power of attorney, financial and otherwise. Get all these things done, put it in your safe. You don't want to have to pay a lawyer a bunch of money to do it. But you can do it through Legal Shield. If you are so inclined, just sign up for them. Knock it out in the first month. You'll be grateful that you did. And you can cross something off your list for this year already. I got my last will and testament done. Check. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. You can go to the website that they built specifically for this show. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. Check it out. See what you think. It might save you some money. And they have a la carte items you can add on to. If you have a small business, you could add a small business plan. If you're somebody that carries a gun and you need some documentation for that, they have that as well. They have ID Shield and all that good stuff. So take a look around, see what you think. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to do it. Okay, now that we got the business out of the way, we can get down to the scary stuff because I am so grateful to have Celeste Solem back. We're going to talk about all kinds of spooky things that you probably know are going on but don't know the details. If you want to connect with her directly, go to her website, celestialreport.com. It will be in the show notes. Celeste is back. Good to see you, Celeste. How are you?
It's great to be back, and it's springtime, and I'm just brimming with energy, and I'm really looking forward. We let too much grass grow under our feet before we got together again.
I know. And there's so much to talk about here. There's, you know, we've been watching this incremental, as David Icke calls it, the totalitarian tiptoe, right? Just a little here, a little there, removal of a right here, increase of power in this government agency here. And, you know, after a while, it starts to add up. And one of the groups that you have done extensive work about is FEMA. And I'm curious to know what they have planned for us, because I never get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I hear that FEMA is coming to the rescue. It always leaves kind of a trail of destruction. And once I started to hear that they're working hand in glove with the United Nations, that definitely doesn't make me feel any better. Where are we with the relationship between FEMA and the United Nations currently?
So basically what they're doing is reorganizing FEMA to put the climate agenda first. And it's like a worship thing. And every single one of their programs, is getting revamped. And let's take a look at it. I've got my, I can't even memorize it all because it's so long. But I think it's important to just do a quick rundown. And then there's one part that I just really want to pay attention to. So it is a major upheaval for FEMA. They are going to check or the reform their individual assistance. That is, if you have a disaster of any kind, hurricane, tornadoes, earthquakes, anything. People think it's free money that FEMA gives you, but really it is a grant. And if you look at the end of the small print, even an individual person, if you take even $1 from the federal government, you are on the hook, according to Standard Form 424B, as in boy, look at that small print. All these global agendas, all these extra constitutional acts and things that you do not even believe in that are really detrimental to our country and to freedom around the world, quite frankly. So just beware that it is being reformed and pay attention to that Standard Form 424B because it is not free money. Next thing is they are going now, FEMA and Homeland Security are teaming up for a winter ready extreme cold summit. And that already has been done. It was on January 26th. And what's the backstory on this? So all the government agencies knew that we were heading into a new ice age, if not a snowball Earth scenario. But Al Gore and the chorus were saying global warming, global warming, global warming. So it wasn't really global warming, but they didn't want the people prepared. There was a man named Thomas Chan. He wrote something called the Adam and Eve story. Have you heard about that?
No.
It's not the Bible story. It is about it's about a pole shift and the wave, giant wave that starts in the east and really cools down the planet. And it is part of extinction level events. And we have entered into the sixth extinction level event. So Thomas Chan wrote this book and it was classified by the CIA about 6 years ago. They declassified it. You can go read it at the CIA reading room. That is the sanitized version. There are other versions that have the prelude and the postlude. The one that you're looking for that's not so sanitized is 113 pages. So FEMA is now finally, this is the first time that they have acknowledged that there is going to be extreme cold. And I don't care if you live in Ecuador or Mexico or Hawaii, whatever, you are going to be experiencing extreme cold. My advice to all of you is make sure you get hats, mittens, gloves, a sleeping bag to below zero temperatures wherever you live. A coat.
Already just cold with my bald head. I'm cold every day, everywhere I go. I don't need this, Celeste. What causes it? We know?
We've got a double whammy. So our Earth periodically goes through this cycle. And part of it's the collapse of the magnetosphere and the cosmic rays coming in, which have a lot of cosmic rays have little nuclei to be specific, which is what causes precipitation and clouds across the earth. And of course, with part of the geoengineering strategy is to put clouds around the whole earth and albedo effect, reflect the sun back up and cool the planet down. So our planet naturally does this. And then we also have just the regular cycle. But now we've got megalomaniacs that are doing geoengineering and putting all these different particulates into the air. I just did a snippet on which is more dangerous, a new particulate that they've just put in the air or the aging one. So you're going to have to check that out. My little snippets are 1 to 3 minutes of little news breaks that you need to know.
Are you a TikTok star now?
Because
that sounds like something might be right up there, Allie.
Yeah, I haven't gone to TikTok yet. You can't be all places
and
be the researcher. I'm writing a book and starting to put a webinar together, you know, doing interviews and being interviewed. You know the drill.
It's a lot. So, it's a lot. I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want you to be ready because cold weather, don't let it surprise you. I know that both of us are having extremely mild weather right now. Don't let that fool you. Now, there's also FEMA has updated their climate risk and resilience portal. And what does that mean to you? They are going to update their hazard mitigation plans. Like, if you're evacuated from an area, can you go back to it? Also, that goes hand in hand with the land use. If you get burned out in California, are they going to let you go back? Probably not. They will zone it that it is to go back to the wild the way that it was. And we know that's a UN mandate. Everything goes back to the wild. There's also infrastructure design. They are going to tell you everything is going to have to be green. And if they've got some special plans for all of us who think we're going to hunker down in our house, but we will talk about that in a little bit. So what are some of these climate things that they're going to change? We're going to have extreme temperatures. I know that the year it was 2017 and I was at 4,000 elevation feet in Montana. It was 107 and went the year after David died. And we're talking extreme temperatures. We're talking 100-degree temperature swings. What a lot of people don't realize is in 2019, the UN put out a report, and you can find it. I can't remember the name of it, heat warning or heat something. And they said in the beginning, the executive summary, they said, well, if you have a population that you just want to get rid of, just make sure that it's really cold and then it gets hot really fast and then biological life will die because it does not have a chance to adapt. And
what
so
document is this? This is 2019 they put this out?
Yeah, I can send you the document.
Please, at some point, yes, please. I'm going to want to see that document. That's crazy. So they're saying turn it up real hot, then turn it down real cold, and
turn it up really cold at the beginning, like now to April, and then all of a sudden May hits and go to 110 or 115.
Oh, okay.
And then people are going to die and the animals are going to die. I know when on my farm, when that happened, all my animals were suffering. The chickens couldn't hardly keep, they were, and the goats were just very lethargic. Everybody was off their game as far as production. The plants didn't like it, and it was difficult. So
too much, too quick. That'll do it.
But that's not all. They got more for us.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. It's kind of like a Kmart special or whatever. We're going to have winds of 350 miles an hour. So if you're thinking about getting a little mobile home or a prefab home, I would think twice about that. Because
it'll be very mobile.
It's not going to stand up to 350 mile an hour winds. And I'm not talking about hurricanes or tornadoes. I am talking about average day stuff. So it will go up from there. So you need to be prepared for that eventuality. Storm cellar might be nice. Those people in the prairies, I don't have a storm cellar here, but I got a basement. I guess that might do.
Underground bunker, anybody? Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Then there's the fire, and those are going to ramp up because right now they're playing with optical direct energy weapons. Havana Syndrome, they used acoustical direct energy weapons, but now they're playing with optical, and that I do have an image from NASA that both the Paradise fire and the Lahani fire were caused by the optical direct energy weapons from the International Space Station. I have an image of it.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. We've talked to people in Maui. We talked to obviously a lot of Californians that, I mean, I'd like to say I'm shocked, but I'm not. I mean, I'm frustrated and annoyed and want to wring these people's necks, but surprised? No, could you imagine if they just took all this energy and put it into creating amazing things instead of trying to kill us all and burn us to death? Like, what could you do with that technology? You could probably have free energy with it, I would think. You would find a way to, I don't know. Anyway, I digress.
I know, we all think. I mean, people's lives could be saved. You know, there wouldn't be poverty on the planet. There would be a lot of things. We will have good food instead of poison food. Lots of things. So another thing is have you noticed, have you looked at your local, on the internet, your weather report?
I check the weather report on my phone. That's about it. That really is it. I don't really watch the television news. And maybe if it happens to be on a TV and I walk by it, I might see it, but no, not really.
This is on your phone or your internet. Pay attention, because a few years ago, I think it was the Rockefellers bought up all the weather channels.
Yes.
And then they sold it to some guy out of San Francisco that starts with an M and I can't remember his name. I process way too much information. Yeah, and yeah. I'm not AI, you know? So I forgot what the guy's name is. But so one day, because we had minus 65 like a few weeks ago. So I looked and then the weather things kept going, you know? And I looked down there and I said, what is this? It said, well, you have a 50% chance of getting the flu today. You have a 25% chance of getting arthritis today. You have a 99% chance of getting allergies today. They are literally telling you now what your health condition is going to be in the weather report on your phone. Or if we went to any of the little weather channels right now, like Weather Underground or weather.com. So just to let you know, they're just like, okay, it's an integrated weapon system, you guys. So then there, I thought this was interesting. They are going there. There's going to be precipitation events and non-precipitation events. So you're either going to be the haves or the have nots. And it's not going to be normal. It's not going to be like natural. Like, you know, it slowly gets cold or it slowly gets warm and, you know, the storm comes in and you see the clouds rolling and there's a few sprinkles and then you'd get rained on and then it goes. You're just going to go, all of a sudden it's going to be clear and then it's going to go, or you're just going to be dry and blown away.
I heard a term last year that I had never heard in my entire life. And I lived in California for over 30 years, atmospheric river.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if I were a meteorologist, I would have heard of that term in college or something. Maybe it's not a new term, but to me, the concept of atmospheric river, and in California got so much rain that it like changed their drought status. So what is that part of this?
Atmospheric river is just what we used to call like a high pressure and low pressure, you know, that, you know, mm-hmm. kind of goes like this across the United States. And like right now, for us, it's hitting the Pacific Northwest, kind of goes up to Canada, then all the cold weather's dropping down to Florida and Texas and all those places, and it's missing us, and we've got 50 degrees and 40 degrees, right. And so it misses us, so these swings are really out of sync, and it's not natural, but it's just a new name. There's actually, it's really kind of interesting, there's a book, like the field guides, that we all used to look at for wildlife or butterflies or whatever. Yeah, they've got one for clouds and weather phenomena, and it's all the new weather phenomena and the new terms. So they're
and the new clouds.
The new clouds
they just made out of the cloud factory.
Yeah, I remember the mammalian, the first time we saw those mammalian that looked like breasts. That was about 10 years ago or something. In there. So it's interesting. If you're interested in meteorology, you might want to take a look. You might be able to get it at a used bookstore or whatever.
Shout out to Shane Cashman, who's going on and on and on about clouds are fake. He might be right. They're making them somewhere. This is really scary stuff, though. This is the type of manipulation of nature that has the law of unintended consequences. You know, I mean, these people think that they're so smart, and maybe they are to an extent, but where is the wisdom? Where is the understanding that once you start changing the inputs, it creates outputs that these people could never, I don't think they can control what they're doing. I think they can control it because they're arrogant narcissists, but I don't think they actually can. And boy, this really freaks me out. It's one thing to mess with us. You start messing with the weather, you're messing with everything on the planet. And the audacity and the arrogance of these people—it's incredibly frustrating. But what else do they have up their sleeve?
Oh no! Okay, Charlie, you opened Pandora's box. So now we have to go. It is our job to go through it down into the rabbit hole.
So okay, let's do it.
What they're doing is breaking all matter down to its atomic and molecular size. Sometimes even to the Planck size. All matter. It doesn't matter. In our bodies, in every animal, in every plant, in every microbe, in our atmosphere, they are breaking everything down to its molecular, the building blocks of everything. And what they're doing, and I've been talking about this since 2019, well, maybe a little bit before with transhumanism, is they are easing in and building a synthetic virtual twin. It will look like Earth. It will look like food. It will look like you. It will look like Charlie Robinson, but it's not going to be Charlie Robinson. It's going to be his evil twin, you know?
Vote for Donald Trump this year. Vote for Joe Biden. You'll be like, that's an imposter. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's going to be very hard to tell these things but they'll have whole different. The laws of nature, the laws of chemistry, the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics. And this is what I'm going to be talking about in my next webinar. So I'm going to be exposing and opening this. And do you know when it pretty much started?
No.
There was a mover and shaker and money people and policy people that met at Asilomar in 1975. And they said, we are going to genetically modify all life on Earth. The only media outlet was Rolling Stone magazine. And on the cover, you can see it to this day, you idiots in big red. And they just dressed Congress down because they just passed a bill that would allow the movers and shakers to genetically modify all life on Earth back in 1975 when we didn't even know it.
These people.
Yeah.
You know, I've speculated that the way you genetically modify a tomato and make it one deviation less natural, and then you can own it and patent it and do whatever you want with it. I don't know why they would stop at tomatoes when they could do that to human beings as well and make us one deviation less human and therefore not accountable to any of the laws or anything like that. They could say, well, you're not a real human being. So you the Bill of Rights, property. I mean, none of this stuff applies to you. We can do whatever we want. We can buy you and sell you. It's legalized slavery. We can throw you in front of a train if we want to. It doesn't matter. Right. I mean, I can envision a scenario in which they make you transhuman, as they talk about in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And we know that Julian Huxley said, well, this is the rebranding of eugenics, right? This is the thinning of the herd. This isn't about like, I'm going to get a bionic arm because I lost it in a car accident. It's, I'm going to make you less human so I can control you from the inside. This is, This is sickening, but 1975. My God, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. When most of genetic modification, we didn't even know that about that till the 90s. Right. But they were starting to experiment and work towards this goal. So in my research last week, I ran across the rattlesnake men. So, you know, Dr. Artis and everybody is talking about the rattlesnake venom and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So now I found out why. So you have to go, okay, they're putting the most lethal venoms in poisons into people in the whole world. Why are they doing this? Well, so the first venom that I ran across, way before Dr. Artis, by the way, was rattlesnake venom. And why rattlesnake? Because rattlesnakes have the ability to see the ultrasound and the infrared light spectrum. So when you think about building super soldiers, you want them to, because they're going to be hitting us all with direct energy weapons of all kinds. You want them, those soldiers, to be able to see that spectrum just like the rattlesnake. So what they're doing is mixing part human, part rattlesnake. And to me, I mean, I wouldn't sign up for the job, but you know.
No, this is Alex Jones. They're building chimeras and an underground bunker type stuff. Everyone goes, get out of here with that. And then you see the monkey, the glow in the dark monkey, and you go, okay, well, we have to put a dollar in the Alex Jones was right tip jar, because here we go with the chimeras that they're doing. So I'm not surprised, disappointed, yes, terrified, of course, but surprised? No, nothing surprises me, I don't think, anymore. The levels of evil that they go to, the things that we see in movies that we sort of dismiss as being science fiction I think so much of that is like, here's a taste of what's to come.
Yeah, but it doesn't even give us a taste. I mean, maybe because most of us, what are most of the people saying right now? I feel like I'm in a science fiction movie. People don't talk to one another. People don't get together like normal. People are like predators, not like mankind used to be, where we would work together. It's very bizarre out there. And so I hear it so many times. I should get a little notepad out with how many times I hear people say it feels like a science fiction movie. Well, that's because they have been pre-programming us way back because they knew that they were going to bring this stuff on board. So we're not going to get through if I don't get down this thing. That's okay. Because there is a place that I really want to get down to. And of course, my drink. And I don't want it on that side because I'll knock it over and computers and electrolytes don't work so well. So FEMA has updone their radiological emergency preparedness program, supposedly for people that live near commercial nuclear power plants. But the reality is they are putting nuclear isotopes in microbes now. And each and every one of you right now is exposed to radiation. And where are you exposed to radiation? Yes?
Thyroid?
No, something that emits radiation.
Cell phone.
Well, that, yes. Yeah. But something you probably haven't thought about is your smoke detector. Your smoke detector has two forms of radioisotopes, and it's probably in every room of your house. It has americanium and californium. And so you are getting irradiated in every room of your house. Now, I do have a book called Electromagnetic Radiation Protection Solutions that talks about all the foods and supplements that you put barriers to prevent you from getting radiological damage. For instance, NASA uses dried prunes, and the Japanese discovered when we dropped the bombs on them in Hiroshima and Nagasaki that red pepper doesn't have to be hot red pepper, but those Japanese who were eating red pepper at the time of the bombs did not sustain the radiation damage that the general population did.
Interesting.
So It's very interesting book. If you have a food you like, you can just type it into your favorite search engine, whatever the food is, not a fast food or a commercially processed, it won't tell you. But if you say banana, you know, it will tell you, and then you type in the word radioprotective, and it will tell you whether it has radioprotective qualities in it, that food.
Cool.
And then you just, like when we get these solar storms and stuff, we should all be bumping up our foods that are radioprotective, because those cosmic rays bring radiation as well. Now, here's the one that I wanted to get to. Here's the devil in the details here.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So I've been a part of many, many FEMA exercises. You know, we got the active shooter. We've got the hurricanes. We got the pandemics. Those are a dime a dozen. They've right. got 10 brand new, spanking new exercises for you. So here's what you are going to be seeing in starting next month. So hold on, I didn't go far enough on my page. Sorry about this, guys. Wish I had it all memorized, but I don't. Come on, be good.
Don't say that FEMA never does anything for you. They're always doing exercises for you.
That's out there. True. Okay, planning. So most of these are about, you know, geared around the climate situation. So you have to put it in context that this is the UN exerting their power. And pretty much the U.S. is just a vassal of the United Nations at this point. I'm sorry you don't like to hear it. I was told on January 1st, 2007, that they were no longer going to make any law, any regulation, or any enforcement as far as the Constitution. That was back on January 1st, 2007. It would be all extra constitutional. So here we go. Here's the dangerous 10. Climate resilience. And what does that mean? It means that, translated, that they are going to implement down to the local level. That is your city and my city, the UN sustainable goals. This year, more than anything else, they want to get into the heart of your city and into your house.
And they're going to do that locally. That's the way to do it. Instead of top down, it's sort of like what Soros did, where he realized I could spend money on the presidential election, but I have more impact if I go locally and get the district attorneys. So maybe I go locally here with these UN sustainable goals and try and get it right to the people there.
And then you don't have to offer much incentive. You know, you give a city council $50 or something for incentive and they'll go for it. They'll say, oh yeah, we'll take the smart meters or whatever they're going to, they want. Okay. Number two, climate adaptation, translated. You will prepare for hazards that we face only the way that we tell you to. So there will be approved and non-approved. Like, so when I first went to FEMA, you could, as a Good Samaritan, help anybody in a crisis and a disaster. That changed. Well, on my watch, unfortunately, I was not the policymaker. Don't blame me. But you had to be certified and be within the NIMS federal government. You have to be trained, certified, and it's actually against the law to be a Good Samaritan in a time of a disaster right now.
And does that certification process, is it more like an indoctrination process? Like where they teach you, like, oh, we are only helping these certain groups of people. We're not helping anybody else. Or what? I wonder what that is.
Yes. If you want to see, or if we want to talk about it sometime, the AmeriCorps started the day after 9/11. It was a massive sweep. I was going to be involved in it to get everybody to volunteer in their own sector. If you're a podcaster, be federalized. If you're a nurse, be federalized. If you're a veterinarian, be federalized. If you're a farmer, be federalized. Get everybody under. Then you can be volunteered or conscripted at any time. They run background checks. If you so much as have a parking ticket, they will know about it and you are caught in the big draconian net. And then it's also very occultic. They have occultic symbols, and I break that down at shepherdsheart.life. I think there's a thing, choose this day who you will serve, or if you type in AmeriCorps, and also their allegiance. They have a different allegiance. It's to the corporate America. not to our America, but to corporate America. So they literally take a pledge, and they're getting the young people, but they go for the old people too. They say, oh, you can volunteer. If you want to volunteer to read a book at school, you have to be federalized and you have to be in this program. It's very diabolical. And most people don't know about it, but it's going to get worse here. We got more to talk about. Okay. There's complex incident coordination, and translated in the days ahead, we are going to live in an increasingly contested environment. That means we're going to push back and they're going to push back. And it's going to be a war zone. Quite frankly, you guys, if you don't think we're in the middle of a war, we are in the middle of a war. Sorry to tell you, it's at all levels. Economic, spiritual, physical, jobs, houses, property rights, everything. It's a battlefield. Our food. There's not much. That isn't a war. Okay. I'm glad you're sitting down, Charlie.
Okay.
Large scale population movement and resettlement. Translated from past FEMA history, it is highly likely that you will be moved and resettled. Anyone think World War II resettlement and what that
resettled into the East? Just get into these boxcars. Oh my God. What I've learned from reading United Nations documents, whatever National Security Council Memo 200 that Kissinger put out in 74 and all this, when they start talking about population movements and resettlements, that is not what people think it is. That is code for something else. It is depopulation. It is depopulation with a fancy name. We are technically moving you somewhere else, but it's off of this planet and not here in your body anymore. You're gone. Yeah. So when I hear this, and I don't trust FEMA to begin with, but when I hear this and FEMA, and especially as you mentioned, everything is sort of under the guise of protecting us against climate. We know that they're going to use this climate. Oh, there's a climate catastrophe. You got to get in these boxcars. Hopefully, if you're listening to this episode, that will be something that will ring a bell when it comes time to be resettled. You will understand the game and do not do that. Do not go to the camps for food and water. It's like a mouse trap, right? The mice get caught because they can never understand why the cheese is sitting there and free. You know, it's a trap. So this is scary. That's really scary.
Yeah, just to let you know that FEMA has beta tested this twice. Once during it wasn't Hurricane Katrina. That was another thing. Sorry about that. It was when the oil rig blew up in the Gulf and they wanted to resettle everybody out of the Gulf area. Well, the people resisted and they did not want to go. So that's when they brought in the core exit and they said, well, if you're not going to resettle, we're just going to slow kill you. And so I did see a Arab PowerPoint during that time at work that was talking about the dangers of how lethal core exit, once it got into the water and the food and everything, how it was going to slow kill people. The other one was in 2006 or 2007 and was a manufactured storm in the Pacific Northwest. I was involved in that one, activated, and I was going to be entertaining some beekeepers from Belarus. And I was really excited about it. They said, oh, come to work at 5, then come to work at 3, then come to work at 1. And then they just said, just get your rear end down here. And I go into the emergency operations center. And I've got to tell you, it's the first time I had ever seen like 100 men in black, all military veterans. Testosterone was like, boom, off to the moon. And they had already started to resettle people out of the Pacific Northwest, and they would not have let them come back in. The funny thing about it is they thought it was going to be the Northwest was going to be decimated and they would have the whole Northwest as a rich man's paradise for Microsoft employees. But what really happened is all the dikes held and everything. And the only strange thing is there were some strange animal things because it was a manufactured storm. So my boss said, this is 3 days in. She goes, Celeste, make sure you look, keep an eye out for that whale in the river. And I'm going, you know, because they fed us well, you know. Yeah. And So I got a whale in the river, not, you know. So anyway, about 3 hours, 4 hours later, the tribes call up and they said, oh, by the way, we saw the gray whale in the Snohomish River. And she wasn't kidding. It really was a whale that went into the river. That it was that much of flooding that there was a whale that went up in the river.
Oof.
So, whoa. Okay, well, we got more to go. Now, here's another one. So I won't ask your marital status, but anyway, mitigating social isolation and loneliness. Translated, it is going to be a crime to be in live in isolation or lonely. As the depopulation agenda moves forward, you are not going to be allowed to live alone. And I'm seeing many articles that say from the World Economic Forum saying we are robbing young people. If, like, I have a 3,000 square foot home and I live alone with my golden retriever, I'm robbing young people of the opportunity to own a home because I own my home. So they are going to, by law, move people in just like the ghettos in World War II. Notice that in many of the cities are building ghettos, those prefab things that look like ghettos that you could just go and they could blow down or whatever. They literally are creating ghettos. But those people, I think they're going to give those to the illegal aliens and the people invading our country. And then they'll go Mad Max on us and our property. And that's was beta tested in Hurricane Katrina in that Astrodome. Okay, let's see. We'll go on here. Community preparedness and response to the opioid crisis, which is crazy because they've terminated the opioids. You can't get them no matter what, unless you're in hospice. And even then it's debatable. So what do they want? What is this big opioid thing about? So they are synthetically changing all of us, and they want to, they have a plan. They have a map. And if you are drinking or if you take a painkiller or whatever, that interferes with their plans. It disrupts what they want to do to your body. So that is why that's there. Okay, enhancing supply chain resilience. Translated, this is a new world economic supply chain of only essential green items. Everything else is going to be banned. So you are looking probably by the end of this year, either it's green, you can get green things in the commercial market, anything else is gone. So,
well, we've seen that in California with the push towards the electric leaf blowers and all that, and it's incremental. They want to get rid of gas stoves and whatnot. Yeah, we can feel this coming.
So recovery, translated, the only recovery with this new agenda is the planetary depopulation. So recovery means to go into the UN matrix or die. Once again, we're going to revisit our local communities, and translated, your community is no longer a safe haven. It is going to be infiltrated and every bit as dangerous as local communities during World War II. And you need to be thinking about that. What are you going to do? I know I live in a town of 49 people and I feel like I live in downtown Berlin. I have to buy my drinking water. If my dog gets out of the fence, it will be shot. I cannot have chickens or goats or any food. I can't grow food, and I am surrounded by thousands of acres of synthetic biology farmland where they're growing crops. But I'm not allowed to have it in this town. And they said, well, it's on you. You should have done your homework before you moved to this town. It's what happened is the UN got in through their different programs to this town and got it onto the books that you can't have food and you can't have animals, dogs.
And that's coming for us, I would assume, everywhere, right? That's part of this UN sustainable goals for smaller cities.
So now this is an interesting one, reunification. Now that came to us as a result of Hurricane Katrina. there were lots of parents and children that were separated. So what happened after Hurricane Katrina is Congress introduced a bill, and I think it's called PMRKA, and it was in the event of a nuclear war that if your children were at school or preschool or out of your hands anywhere, that that facility would not release your children to you under any circumstances because the environment was not safe. Well, if you know anything about the process of bills, that was the introductory language, and it always changes. By the end, what the language read is, if the environment is unsafe, your children will not be released to you. And the United Nations has released or said or declared that the world is not safe due to climate change. So any time that you hand over your children to daycare or school, you are transferring custody. You need to understand that this is a transfer of custody, and they have your kids, and they don't have to release them according to the law in the United States at this time.
I know that because they ran that in Denver,
and they ran.
They did a drill
too. Yeah,
they did a drill, so. And parents flipped out. They took all the kids to like the Broncos stadium and held them there and wouldn't let them go. And the parents showed up, and the parents were like, how dare you do this? You run this drill. You don't tell anybody. You freak these kids out. And there was huge pushback by the parents, but it still happened. I mean, it happened. The pushback was after the fact. So it wasn't like they were told in advance, but that happened here within the last couple of years. So I know for a fact, and people were freaking out. And so that's most definitely a real thing that they're currently role playing.
And it goes one step further. So stemming from that is also why during COVID, when you took your loved one to the emergency room and you signed those papers and they went in, and then they were going to give them remdesivir and put them on a vent and kill them, and you tried to get them out, you couldn't get them out. Why? It was the same thing. Because you had, in that signing of the paperwork, you transferred custody of your loved one to the hospital. And you need to understand that from here on forth. Think twice about going to an emergency room, or be careful, get that lawyer service that you yeah. advertise yes. for, because it may be very difficult to get your loved one out, if you can even get them out. Many people's loved ones died.
Get a medical directive in advance that says what you agree to and what you don't agree to, and
they won't even take it. No, because it's a custody. They have custody now. They make the rules, and they can do anything they want. And you have to know that it doesn't. The only way is to have a physical advocate there, battling and warring, and with some legal documentation to help the advocate. And you're not allowed to advocate for your loved one. So just be aware of that. So just a few more things here. They are going to, let's see. I'm going to just skip that one. So FEMA is teaming up with the Rosalind Carter Institute for Caregivers webinar on disaster preparedness. That was on January 24th. What is the danger of this? Because during Hurricane Katrina, the storm was barely a storm out in the Gulf. And they went in, caregivers and nurses, and euthanized elderly and disabled people. And there was not a outcry. And that was one of their beta tests. Can we get away with killing people in time of before a disaster hits? And so if you are a caregiver and you team up with FEMA and the Rosalind Carter Institute for Caregivers, the chances of you being asked to participate in euthanization. So, for instance, you say, well, maybe that there was some reason. Well, my mom is in the last stages of Alzheimer's. She lives in California. According to California law, if two doctors say that my mom has Alzheimer's or dementia, you can be put down like a dog. That's the law of California. So it's
like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not with California. And of course, Canada, I've talked extensively about medical assistance and dying, their program in Canada. It's already claimed over 10,000 lives just in 2022. I don't know what the numbers are for 2023. I think I saw that they were somewhere around 16 or 17,000 for that year. They want us dead. We know that. But now they're legalizing it. It is very scary. And for people that are in a position that can't advocate for themselves too, that are either mentally incapacitated or physically or both. And oh, this is really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And now we're going to jump to teens. They have a new disaster game, and it was made with FEMA Region 8 and I Thrive Games Foundation. And it's to get into the heads of teenagers, their mental health and well-being. Yeah. So they're going to figure out what is your mental health and your well-being status through playing this game. And it sounds like fun and all this, but it's not. It's them getting inside your teen's head. Now, here's one I really don't like. DHS has put a request for information on environmental justice. And what is, do you know what environmental justice is? Okay, we're going to learn. Okay, so it is also known as eco-justice, which was back in the 90s, eco-terrorism, but right. Now it's eco-justice, is a social movement that aims to address environmental injustice, which occurs when poor or marginalized communities are harmed by the hazardous waste, resource extraction, or other land uses from which they do not benefit. See, you're supposed to give your land for them. The movement has generated hundreds of studies showing that exposure to environmental harm is inequitably distributed. No, a hurricane hits everybody all together. I'm sorry. Environmental justice is an important part of the struggle to improve and maintain a clean and healthy environment, especially for the communities of color who have been forced to live, work, and play closest to sources of pollution. The whole planet's polluted, for Pete's sakes, and it's at right. their hand, not us. So the Environmental Justice Index is a national place-based tool designed to measure the cumulative impacts of the environmental burden through the lens of human health and human equity. Those of color, not us. So,
wow. Yeah, they are going to use every trick that they can, every buzzword that they can when we hear environmental justice. I've heard the term before, but it's like it's so vague. It could mean just about anything, especially when FEMA and DHS get a hold of it and start twisting it around and making it out to be that, like the Los Angeles Times ran an article that got recirculated again recently. Once they started firing all the people at Los Angeles Times last week, there was all these writers were coming out saying, "I can't believe we got fired. I can't believe we got fired." And then people were posting pictures of an article from the LA Times that was blaming the white community for freeways and the pollution that pollutes the inner city, and that it was all the white people's fault. And it was like, you deserve to not have a job at the LA Times if you're writing nonsense like this. But you can feel it. You can feel the us versus them, people of color versus, I guess, people of non-color. I guess, are we non-colored? I don't know. Clear-faced white people versus everybody else, and using the climate as the justification to get some sort of climate reparations from us? Is that where we're going? Is FEMA going to drive the climate reparations bus? Is that we're going to have to give up our land or give up your 3,000 square foot house and your maybe even your dog too, right? As reparations to the communists that want to move into your neighborhood. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's it. And they're coming at us from many different directions. So if you think that you just take one, if you think of in the old, like the Civil War, they would have several different fronts we're getting it from, like, it's like at the quantum level. It's coming at us from not all many different fronts, but many different dimensions. I think it's not even all from our dimension. I believe in extra dimensional.
It feels very demonic, these ideas, these concepts. And you know, when you start, when they start talking about reorganizing nature down to the quantum level, who is asking for that? And it reminds me of a conversation that I heard the founder of D-Wave give, and D-Wave makes quantum computers, Jordy Rose. He was giving this interview. He was saying, we opened up parallel dimensions and we have been dragging information back into our dimension. And my question is, from whom are you dragging this information and what are they asking you to do with it? Because this doesn't sound like something that a bunch of bureaucrats would be busy doing. This sounds like somebody is on a mission to destroy this world. And I'm curious as to why they feel the need to do it. And why, on top of that, there seems to be such a rush to do it. This Agenda 2030, we have heard this benchmark this year for a long, long time. And in the United Nations and their sustainable development goals all have this target of 2030. Is that what they're going towards? Is that really the target in their head? Do you think that in 6 years, they're going to reach the finish line, or is this something that can be accomplished even sooner?
In military circles, they think that it will be accomplished by 2025. I'm not sure if it's January 1st or January 31st or December 31st, but they talk about, they want all of the original design, that's everything, eradicated by 2025, everything. And the new humans already started being born in 2022 vaccinated parents that are more connected, let's say, with the quantum warp realm. They may or may not have a soul. These children, by the time they, who knows when exactly, they won't need a laptop. They're not going to need a cell phone. It will be telepathy, levitation, these various types of things.
You did a series called Soul Catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about witchcraft, talking about things like this. I think that gets dismissed by a lot of people as being, you know, oh, I've seen that. I've watched TV. What is witchcraft, really? What is this? What should we know about it that we didn't learn on, you know, from watching TV shows when we were kids? What is it?
Well, it can take different forms. There's good versus evil, and it really is evil. It's to do harm or death, and that's what we're seeing. The first time, and you think that the government doesn't participate, so remember the Australian wildfires in 2019 in December. This is as COVID was coming onto the scene, but not really too much visible yet. So the United States sent over a jet, an autonomous jet, no pilot in the jet, made of graphene, was invisible with a payload. Now, why would you send a fighter jet over to help people that are, you know, in a wildfire situation? Well, it had two pieces of equipment on, Geomancer and Spellbook, and it was literally casting spells and curses upon the people and the land of Australia. And you say, oh, you know, that, you know, it's hocus pocus. I don't believe in that. Well, what happened? So then the wildfires, Boeing jet was called the Valkyrie, the chooser of the slain. And what was Remdesivir's original name? Valkyrie. And then they changed it to Remdesivir. So they knew all along it was going to be the chooser of the slain. Anyway, the jet came back to the United States. What happened in Australia? Their government went totalitarian. I mean, firing direct energy weapons, things that made, I mean, the whole world was aghast. They're like, you know, it was horrifying to watch what the poor Australians were going through. But then the Valkyrie came back here And now it's been doing curses and spells upon the people and the land of the United States. And look at how far our country has gone down just since that time.
You know, it's easy to be dismissive of this because it's kind of hard to measure and it's out there in that woo-woo world. And I think that we can be dismissive of this at our own peril. Like, there's something to it. I know that you have, you know, we have presidents consulting with astrologers. We have a lot of big decisions being made with regard to that. We have hidden symbolism inside our government buildings and the layouts of Washington, D.C. And all of this stuff. And so my point is that you can say this is hocus pocus and it doesn't matter and it's nonsense. But for whatever reason, it really matters to them. It's essential to them. They take it very seriously. They take bloodlines seriously. They take the types of, you know, hidden messages. They take the symbology very seriously. All of these things matter to them. And so therefore, if it matters to them, it should matter to us, just if for no other reason than we should be keeping our eye on them as they're doing these things. So I've come a long way in my understanding of how this world works, and the things that I was early, you know, easily dismissive of early on, like something like witchcraft and spells and Hollywood and the, you know, all the, you know, casting spells. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it might, I thought, well, it's mostly about money. And if any of that other stuff happens, that's, you know, sort of a side added benefit. I have come to reevaluate that and feel that it is not about money. It's actually about these spells and dark forces and dark energies and putting people into suggestive states and saying things without saying them through symbology. And this has become a real, I think if you get good at deciphering this, like get good at reading this language, that it opens up a whole world that is right in front of our eyes and yet still kind of hidden at the same time. I'm always really glad to talk to you. And then I process everything that we've talked about and I start to think like, oh boy, you know, this is bad, but it's not the end of the world, right? We're going to make it through this, right? There's more of us than them. They need our consent and compliance on some of these things. Maybe not all of them, some of the things you've mentioned seem to be beyond us, but what should our mind frame be going into this? If we're aware of this now, we understand that these people are plotting horrible things for us. We're not going to go quietly. How should we come at this if we're going to be solutions oriented and not just stuck in the realm of woe is me?
I think realistically, the front needs to come to our front door, which is our mind. And our heart, and live above it. Do not let them defeat. Do not let them impinge. They may take your body physically. They may torture you, whatever, but you have the resiliency. There have been 5 extinction level events before the one now, and we are here. And you're here. I'm here. We're talking with our friends out in cyberland, and we can live above this. The thing that we need to remember is to not lose who mankind is in this process. We need to continue and fight back for even the territory that we've lost, because we have lost some ground with the whole COVID debacle. And take back things like kindness. You know, if you're a baker, I say this, if you're a baker, if you can do songs, if you go to the post office and make some songs, make some food for a homeless person or a nursing home, or let's say you sew, you could sew for somebody like me that doesn't have time to sew because she's on the front lines, and really be a blessing. Even just listening to somebody these days, because humanity is being squashed like a bug. Yeah. Just listening, because people don't take the time, because it's dismissive. And now more so with AI, you know, you call up to do any type of business and it's a stupid AI thing and you're in the circle and you never can get your question answered and you just get frustrated and you want to throw your phone across the room.
And, right.
But we've got to counter, we've got to have, I think our great strength to counter AI and what's coming down and all of that is human to human, you know, talking to each other, having frank conversations like we are, being real, helping, like if somebody calls you in the middle of the night and they're being hit, attacked by the enemy in some way, listen or act or do, you know, you could just be proactive, just even being tender to that person. Sometimes I had a friend that her husband just had a heart attack and I called and kind of walked through for a couple of days. I mean, that's what we have to regain that we kind of lost during COVID. We were all like siloed into our little houses, locked down. And in some ways, the fabric of society and culture was destroyed at that point. And it's up to us on individually to regain that. And we can do it. We can do it and have a positive attitude. And I know you have your passions and I have mine. I love my garden. I love to cook. Yeah. I love my golden retriever dog. And there's right. things that, yes, I have to go to the deep dark to report on the news, but that's not where I dwell. Don't dwell in it. Yes, you maybe look at it so that you're, we should all be, have a cursory awareness of what's going on, but don't dwell there. Don't let that be your home. Your home is much vaster than your body. It's your soul and your spirit and it connects with everything else, you know? So I think that there's great power in us as mankind. And in the end, I know we will triumph because I know evil won't. I know it will self-destruct.
I agree. It's going to be a fight, though. And these people yeah. are relentless. So we have to be organized and connected and have the right frame of mind and not be caught off guard. So I always appreciate you coming by to tell us what is actually happening. What's the best place for people to connect with you and to support your amazing work?
CelestialReport.com. And I'm just getting back because my website was seized, part of the censorship battle wars. But shepherdsheart.life is where my products are, my books. And as soon as I'm freed up and can get in there, I'll be back to writing articles.
Awesome. That's Celeste Solem, everybody. Connect with her, follow her work, share it where you can, support her work as best you can. Sign up for these workshops when she puts them together. These series that you put out are amazing. So people should check them out. And if you want to connect with me, you can do so through my new website. Speaking of websites, macroaggressions.io. That's the place to do it. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.